when we meet the Master. Praise the Lord, he gives us a new spirit, he gives us a new life, he gives us a new, we're a new creation in Jesus Christ, and thankfully he gives us hope, the hope that we can live for him, the hope that he can make changes even greater in our lives. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight, open up to Galatians chapter number 5, Galatians chapter number 5, we're going to look at verses 7 through 9, Galatians chapter number 5. As we, during the month of September, in the evening times, we're going to be talking about a little bit about friendship, talking a little bit about soul winning and combining those together in preparation for our upcoming Friend Day. I will not hide the fact, the idea that we're hoping to have a great day come October 6th, always hoping to have a great Sunday, but I want you to make plans to do your part in order to invite people to come out for our Friend Day. It's usually our biggest day of the year. And this during the month of September, we're going to take some time and do some challenges to encourage you to get ready on who you can invite to be praying or who you can invite and things like that. And the challenge for this week, and we're going to do something with the challenge afterwards, is Nick, this whole entire week, I want you to be thinking and praying about who you can invite. I want you to come to church next week with five names that people that you plan on inviting. Just do your best. Say, I don't know five people. Well, then meet five people this week and then write their names down. Or if you need some people to pray about, you say you don't know five people, I can probably tell you at least five people that used to go to church here that you probably would know that we'd love to see come visit our church again and be a part of our church. So let me just encourage you. Think about it. And it doesn't matter if your name matches somebody else's names. It doesn't. Just five people the Lord lays upon your heart. Say, I'm going to invite this person Friend Day. Next week, we're going to have our postcards getting ready to pass out for Friend Day, and we're going to encourage you to take those postcards next week and actually mail it to the people and get so they can put it on the calendar. It'll be about a month ahead of time, three to four weeks, so that way they get it on the calendar so they can know when the day is and say, hey, I need a friend. Can you come be my friend that day? And like I said, I don't think they'll be disappointed. They're going to have a wonderful service that day. Dr. John Bishop will be preaching. He has a wonderful testimony. He had a sickness, and my wife wrote down the sickness so that way I would. It's septic meningitis, which caused him to lose his memory completely. He had to learn how to walk, had to learn how to talk, had to learn how to eat, had to learn how to do all types of things again. And he got a wonderful, powerful testimony. Some of our young people and a couple of our adults got to hear his testimony at the Gospel Light Youth Conference. And when I heard that, the Lord impressed upon my heart saying, our people need to hear that. And I think it'll be, an enjoyable service. I think that anybody that comes will be just Lord will work on their hearts. So please make sure you do that part that day. We're planning on having dinner right afterwards. We're going to have barbecue that day. And so we're looking forward to that. And then we'll have an afternoon service with Dr. Bishop. Then throughout the week, obviously Monday through Friday, we have different speakers. Dr. Bishop Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, Dr. Mark Campbell. And then Friday and the following Sunday, we're going to have Dr. Alton Beale with us. That Sunday evening service on the 13th is a special service. Dr. Beale will be preaching, but it'll be actually Mr. Mark's ordination service. The Friday before that, Mr. Mark is going to be going through an ordination council here at our church, and we're going to ordain him about preaching the gospel. And that'd be a nice day, a nice service there, a good way to finish up our Bible conference. And Dr. Beale is the president of where he was at Bible College. So I think you'd be praying for him. I'm sure he's a little bit nervous about the ordination council that Friday, but I'm sure he'll do fine. And it's something that most preachers go through. I remember going through, and I was really, really nervous. And then when I got there, it wasn't hard at all, so it was nice. It all depends on who the preacher is. If you have a really, really mean preacher in the council that wants to make you answer all these questions, you know, quote the Bibles backwards, all those things, you know, that's fine. And there is, but we haven't picked anybody mean to be there yet, except for me. But I'm sure that he'll do well, and we're excited about that week of the Bible conference. So looking forward to that. But October 6th, next week, I want you to have five people. Or five different families that you plan on inviting. Take this week to think about it and pray about it. It can be people who used to be members here, people you haven't seen for a little while. It can be people who have never been here, people that are just in the area. I don't want you inviting people in Alaska because you know they need the gospel. You know, you send them some tracks, send them some good information about the church, people who you can follow up on. So next week. And this week, we are going to look a little bit about influence. We're going to look about entitled this evening's message is Who Did Hinder You? Who did hinder you? In Galatians chapter number 5, In Galatians chapter number 5, you see an interesting verse that's written in verse number 7. It says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Look at that phrase again in verse number 7. "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you?" Here's the idea that somebody in the church of Galatia, especially, is what they're referring to here, is that there was Judaizers that came into the church that caused mass confusion, that caused people to stray away from the faith that they had been taught. Paul is writing back to his church saying, "You were doing so good. You were doing so well." And then the question was, who did hinder you? And this evening in this passage of scripture, I want us to look at and understand is, who is it that is hindering us from serving God to our fullest potential? See, through the years, I've seen people that have gone and they've run this race and who have done really well, and they seem like they got everything going well for them. They're serving, but there's been times in their lives where they took their eyes off of the Christ, took their eyes off the goal, took their eyes off the track, took their eyes off of God, and become casualties in the ministry. Some people would call this person as a used-to-be Christian. You ever met somebody that used to be a used-to-be Christian? He said, "What do you mean? Once you're a Christian, you're always saved." I get that. If you're truly saved, you're truly blood-bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are saved and you have eternal security in Jesus Christ. I'm talking about used-to-be Christian being someone that maybe used to sing in the choir or used to teach a Sunday school class, used to run a bus route, used to be faithful to church, used to pray, used to read their Bibles, used to, you can fill in the blank for also. Who hindered you? It's interesting here that Paul doesn't say, why were you hindered? Paul doesn't say, what hindered you? Paul doesn't say, how were you hindered? Or when were you hindered? Or even where were you hindered, but who hindered you? And I want you to understand that I think that influences in our lives is key. The influence we have on those that are around us, but who we allow to influence us is important. The word hinder means to slow down, to impede progress, or to delay. The picture that's given by the Apostle Paul, I think the Apostle Paul was a sports fan because you see all the analogies that come to sports and helps me not feel guilty about being a sports fan. I think the Apostle Paul, if he was alive today, he would be a Steelers fan. Amen? That's right. They don't have cheerleaders. Praise the Lord. That's right. They don't have to have half-naked women around the field. The Steelers, they're there. That's great. Isn't that wonderful? That's why I'm a Steelers fan, isn't it? Now, there are a few other football teams that don't have that either, but the Steelers were the first one that did that. So if you guys want to convert now to becoming Steeler fans, that's wonderful. Football season starting next week, so I'm a little bit excited. But you think about it here. Here is the idea here that when you're running a race, and if somebody throws something in your way, it's going to slow you down. You think about the race that is run. Many times they wear things that cause them to be able to run the fastest. They're not going to have things that are going to slow them down. They're not going to have weights on their backs. They're not going to have large shoes. You don't see women running marathons with high heels and evening gowns on. No, you don't. You don't see men running around unless they're in the military with big packs on their back. Mr. Larry runs some marathons or has run marathons in the past. I asked him today, he said, "You've been running lately?" He says, "Oh, not much. I just ran 4 miles yesterday." I'm like, 4 miles? I get tired after driving 4 miles, much less running 4 miles. And here, but the idea that he's saying, what did hinder you? It's the idea is, who got in your way? Who slowed you down? Who threw that object that stopped you from going there? Or who put that burden on your back? And here's the thought here. There's four different things that I think that can help us understand things that might hinder us. And four different things that can help us not to be hindered in our race for Christ. It is important to remember this. When we allow people to influence us, many times we're allowing them to encourage us and being a fellow helper to the truth, to help us push toward the race, to push for the prize, to help finish the race well. The Bible doesn't talk about how fast you run the race. The Bible does talk about how well you run the race and how well you finish it. So I think there's two different influences out there. There's an influence that's going to encourage you to keep on running, keep on going, keep on doing what you're supposed to do. And then there's also going to be another influence out there that's going to try to get you to slow down, that's going to try to get you to stop, it's going to try to get you on the sideline. And he's going to try to make you into a used-to-be Christian. Hey, I used to do this. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to make people feel better, trying to justify people. I know that God calls people to different ministries at different times. I know that sometimes we leave one ministry to go to another ministry. That's not the people I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people who used to be actively serving, actively running, actively pursuing after the prize, or trying to compete and finish the race that God has set before them. And they're running that race with patience, and they're running that race to the best of their ability, who has now stopped, who are now has slowed down. Where they used to be running, now they're just walking. Or where they used to be walking, now they're just crawling. Or where they used to be crawling, and they're sitting on the sidelines. As we learned about Eli a month ago, he's just sitting on the sideline watching Hannah pray and being critical. So where are we at today in the race? Where are we at today? And if we are not running like we used to, ask yourself this question. Who did hinder you? Who did hinder you? Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to your house. Lord, I pray tonight in this simple message, Lord, that you speak to our hearts about influences. You speak to us and help us to look deep inside and see if we are being the influence of the world that is around us, that we should be. And Lord, but also we look at the influences that we're allowing to affect our lives. And Lord, if there's some things that we need to forget, or there's some things that we need to forsake, Lord, I pray you give us the courage, Lord, help us see the importance and accomplish what you've called us to do. Lord, I pray you help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when silver is mined from the ground, it is commonly mixed with a number of other elements. In order to get pure silver that can be used for a commercial or industrious purpose, it must be refined. Silver has an extraordinary high melting point. It must be heated nearly 2,200 degrees in order to be refined to complete purity. Only when it has been through this process does the silver become useful for its intended function. Beautiful service pieces are made of silver. High-tech equipment and gadgets, collectible coins, all become possible only once the silver has been refined. Without this process, this silver ore is largely worthless. Now, Satan is delighted when he allows wicked influences to remain in our lives, because they keep us from fulfilling and allowing God to refine us to his purpose and his will for our lives. One of the most effective lies is that such influences don't really impact us. One of the greatest lies the devil uses is when he has convinced us and showed us that wrong influences and bad influences really do not impact us. But the reality is, the Bible teaches us, be not deceived. Now, don't you like that? I like it when Paul writes it that way. Be not deceived. He's just being simple. He's putting out there, hey, look, don't get fooled. Don't be foolish. He's just saying, look, be not deceived. And here it is, evil communications corrupt good manners. That means that evil things that influence us will corrupt us. Believing the lie that evil influences do not impact us has caused many believers to fall prey to an influence that they did not recognize or guard against. And because of that, you know what they've become? Used to be Christians. Now, I know they're saved. I know they're on their way to heaven. But are they not accomplishing what they could for God? And that's not the reason why we're here. That's not the reason why we've been saved. God saved us for a purpose. He saved us for a reason. And we need to get past this used to be Christian and be serving God the way he wants us to. What type of influences do we have in our life? Here's four things I think will help you to continue without being hindered. Four things that will help you to continue without being hindered. First thing, there are some people you must forgive. There are some people you must forgive. You say, Pastor, I thought you were going to be talking about people being a bad influence to us and people doing this to us, and I was going to enjoy this message because of the fact that it's on somebody else and who we should get rid of and what we should do, and we will come to that point. But before we go anywhere else, we need to look deep inside, and we need to say, okay, what is hindering us in our Christian walk? And you know what? What's hindering many people in our Christian walks today is there's some people out there we need to learn to forgive. There are some people out there we need to learn to forgive. Bitterness has derailed many Christians who used to run well.
People who allow someone's hurt or someone to how they treated them has caused them to stop serving, has caused them to start having the right attitude, has caused them to stop being a soul winner, has caused them to stop living the Christian life, has caused them to stop and let that bitterness spring up in their lives, and they've allowed themselves to be defiled and the many that are around them to be defiled, and because of that, they're not doing what God has done. Where they used to be running the race, they've been hindered. Why? It's because there's some people that they must forgive. Hey, Pastor, you don't know what they did. But let's go back to the ultimate example. Who's that? It's Jesus Christ, the ultimate example. What did he do on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, they didn't ask for forgiveness. They mocked him. They laughed at him. They didn't say, hey, forgive us. We did wrong. No, they didn't ask for it, nor did they even think they needed forgiveness. And when we take that example, that the Son of God still forgave them anyway, why are we going to allow that the fact that someone else hurt us hinder us in our race? Why are we going to let the fact that we are breaking ourselves up inside because of how someone is treating us slow us down in this course that God, this race that God has given us to do? If we really, truly do not want to be hindered in our Christian walk, one of the things we must realize is that there are some people that you must forgive. There will be people in your life along the way whom you must forgive, so that you are not hindered in this race of the Christian life. Who is it in your life tonight that you need to forgive? Like I said, bitterness is one of those secret weapons that the devil uses that causes people to put on the shelf and they stay there for a long time. I talk to people who used to be Christians. Oh, I used to go to that church, but I remember 30 years ago, this person was mean to me. 30 years ago, that person's probably dead, or that person's not in the church anymore, or at least that person's probably got it right 30 years ago. And we got to understand, if we don't want to be hindered, if we don't want to be slowed down, if we want to keep our eyes focused on the course, we want to keep our eyes focused on the race, who did hinder you? You know what? Someone has hindered us many times because they've treated us wrong. And we must learn to forgive them. I was thinking about this and pondering and meditating on it a little bit tonight, and I was thinking about those five people to write down. You know, who would be shocked if you sent them an invitation to the friend day? What do you mean? Well, I bet you in some people's lives here tonight, they know that you're angry and bitter towards them and that you would never talk to them or never speak to them. How shocked would they be if they wrote, hey, I'm sorry we've had problems before in the past. I'd like for you to come to friend day and be my friend that day. If they didn't drop dead because they opened up the card and they were completely surprised, you know what? I bet you there's a chance, unless they have their own church, that they would go to your friend day because they've been shocked by it. Praise the Lord. Think about that. So who is it there that we're going to, who is it that we're bitter to? Who is someone that we need to forgive? Pastor, you don't know how they treated me. No, but God does. And God's the one that's telling you to forgive. If I had wrote the Bible, I wouldn't tell us to forgive everybody. That wouldn't have been what I was said. But God says in Ephesians 4:32, to be kind, to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another. So I would have left that part out. I don't like forgiving people either, but you know what? God empowers us and God gives us the ability to do it. So if we don't want to be hindered, if we don't want to be slowed down in this race that we're running, there are some people you must forgive. Now that we've got the hard part off right now, let's look at the next thing. There are some folks that you need to forget. There are some folks that you need to forget. Now, I'm not talking about bad people here. We're going to talk, that's the forsaking part. But there are some folks in this world that we live in today that are slowing us down in a race that we need to learn how to forget. Verse number 7 says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Verse number 8, I think is really interesting. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Now, here's the point I want to get across today with this idea of forgetting. Now, before we go any farther, I think we should reach out to everyone in the world. I think we should try to encourage people in their walk with the Lord. I think we should be fellow helpers with the truth. But if we know there are people out there that are slowing us down in our Christian walk and they have no interest in growing in the grace and knowledge of God, and they have no interest in encouraging us on our race and encouraging us in our path and to become more like Christ, there are some things that we need to forget. They do not need to be our close personal friends. You say, oh, they're my family members. So, I mean, family is a little bit different. You have a relationship there that doesn't change, but you can count and be close to those who are going to be a fellow helper and push you there instead of being the description that's found in there, who doth hinder you. Say, Pastor, I don't see where you see that in the Bible. Well, look what it says in verse number 8. It says, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. These people are not on the same line as God. They're not on the same line as Jesus Christ. They are not the ones that are of the same persuasion. They're not thinking the way you are. They're not thinking of what Christ has intended for your life. They're thinking about what they have intended for your life, or what they think you should have intended for your life. And this is the idea. These are the people that we need to maybe forget about their influence that they have in our life. And I'm never showing you that there's a time where you should be ugly or mean to someone. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that we need to forget some people's opinions. We talked about this morning when we were preaching. We talked about sometimes how our family will say this, or family will say that, or close friends that are maybe good people will say this. But if it's contrary to what the Word of God says, we don't need to heed their advice. We don't need to heed their opinions. No matter how well-meaning they are or how much of a good heart they have, if it's contrary to what the Bible says, the grace of God does not teach us that we should be living like the world. It does not teach us that we should give in to our worldly lusts. And if there's somebody who is teaching us not to be sober and teaching us not to be righteous and teaching us not to be godly, we need to forget. We need to forget their influence. We need to forget the things they have in their lives. You say, Pastor, that's hard. These people are close to me. I don't want you to be a casualty. I don't want you to be a used-to-be Christian. And to be honest with you, many of these people that we need to forget about their influences in our life are people that used to be Christians, used to be in the choir, used to be faithful, used to go to the right church, used to tell other people about Jesus Christ, used to love their husband and love their wives, and used to all these things. Now, they are not consumed with the goal that we should be consumed with. And if we allow them, they will hinder us. Perhaps even sometimes they make it their goal to hinder us. Now, we should forgive them, and we can forget it, forget their influence, and we continue moving on. But I bet you if you thought a little bit about it, there's probably some people in our lives that we listen to and allow to affect our hearts in this race. They're good people, and they might even be people that are sitting right next to you. And the fact that there might even be the same church members, but they're not as passionate about God as you are. And if you've got something from God, you don't need to be listening to what people are saying to you. If God's speaking to your heart about something, then you need to follow through what God says. Let me clarify this. If God's speaking to you, it's something that does not contradict His Word. It is amazing sometimes when people come to me and say, God told me to, and you fill in the blank, told me to not come to church, or told me to leave my husband or leave my wife, or God told me to do this, and it's contrary to what the Bible says. And I have a hard time thinking that God, who makes no mistakes and who does not lie, telling us to do something contrary to what His Word says. So I'm just telling you, there are some folks in our lives. I know it's easy when we look at some of these other influences that we need to forsake. It's easy for us to say, yeah, I need to get rid of that. That is wrong. That's evil. That's wicked. And we look at that TV that influences us. We look at maybe that person who's living in complete wickedness outwardly. I understand that. But I'm talking about those people that are in our lives that are slowing us down in our Christian race. We need to pray for them. We need to try to bring them up to where we are. We need to be the one that's a fellow helper in the truth. But when we wallow around with them and banter around with them, you know what's going to happen? We're going to become the casualties found in verse number 7. You did run well. You did do good. You were doing well. You were doing so great. I was so proud of you. Who did hinder you? Who was the one? If we think back in our lives, there's probably more people that we should forget about their influence that stopped us than the people that we should forsake. Because we know what's wrong. We know that we're not going to get involved in some horrible, horrible, quote, sin. But we got to not let these people slow us down when we're serving the Lord. Think about this. Be careful for your influence. One day, a farmer grabbed a shotgun to shoot a flock of pesky crows. Unfortunately, he did not see his sociable parrot that had joined the crows. After firing a few shots, he walked over to the fallen birds and was surprised to find a parrot badly ruffled with a broken wing. When the farmer's children saw the injured bird, they asked, Dad, what happened? And the farmer simply replied, bad company. bad company. We're going to be the ones that get hurt. We're going to be the ones that get hindered. Scripture often warns us to avoid these harmful influences, regardless of our age or spiritual strength. Over time, unwise influences will negatively affect our walk with the Lord. Satan is determined to pull us into sin and wreck our lives, and he often uses the wrong influences to accomplish his goal. Are we influencing our world, or are we allowing this world to influence us? I said this morning, the world is influencing the church more than the church is influencing the world. And there is a problem there.
Yes, sir.
But the world is influencing our families more than the church is influencing our families. There's a problem there too. Unfortunately, many times the world is influencing our families more than the family is influencing their family. There's a real problem there. How do we fix it? We become serious in our Christian walk. We look for the things that are hindering us in our Christian walk. We look for those influences that are draining our spiritual power and cleanse them out. There are some things we need, some people we should forget their influence. Third thing is, there are some that you must forsake. There are some that you must forsake. These are the people who are not going in the same direction. You need to beware and stay away from. These create a grave danger for you. They're in a different category altogether. They will do more than impede your progress. They will derail you from that. You will no longer be running, and you'll become that used to Christian. You say, where in the Bible do you see that? Well, if you read through the Bible, especially in the book of Proverbs, they tell you over and over, there are people that you need to separate from. There are people you need to stay away from. Listen to some of these verses. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. It says, don't spend the time with people that give you a bunch of flattery. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25, it says, make no friendship with an angry man. And the Bible's saying there is somebody there that you need to mark. You need to say, hey, look, he's an angry man. Don't make a friendship with him. And with a furious man, thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Proverbs 21:4-1 says, be thou not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Now, these are people that the Bible is saying that we need to forsake and that we need to avoid. Does that mean we don't reach out for them with the gospel? Yes, we do. But we take our part and see our reason that we pray for them and reach out for them and try to reach them for the cause of Jesus Christ. But it's saying about becoming that close friendship or about meddling with them and talking with them as they're flattering or desiring to be with them. That means a step up in the relationship. Listen to what it says in Romans 16, 17, 18. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, now mark them. You know what that means? Mark them doesn't mean you walk over and put a big X on their back. But it means that you take notice and you recognize something. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And avoid them. What is the Bible saying here? That if someone is causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, we need to mark them and we need to avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by their good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You know, what the problem is in many churches today is that there are people who are trying to cause divisions. There are people that are trying to cause offenses. There are people just trying to cause problems. And too many times people put up with it too long and they listen to it too long and they turn around and hear what they had to say, even though it's contrary to what the Bible is teaching, contrary to what they have learned, and they become deceived because of their fair speeches and their good words. The Bible says that they are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound a lot like verse number 8? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. The Bible says that there's someone there that's trying to cause problems and cause divisions and offenses, that you should mark them. You should take note of that. And that's not someone that you need to spend a lot of time with. Is that someone you should pray for? Yes. Is that somebody you should reach and try to encourage? Yes. Is that someone you should listen to as they run down the church and run down the Bible and run down your pastor? No. That's what the Bible says. Look at what it says in 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we commanded you, brother, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, it says, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which we received of us. It's talking about a brother that's been taken in a sin and it's living outwardly in a sin. It says, withdraw yourself from them. In 2 Thessalonians 3:14, it continues, "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." And don't look at him as an enemy. He's still your brother. Still treat him like a brother, but live a life that's going to help bring them back to the proper relationship and fellowship. Use your influence. Use your influence for good and not for evil. Don't water it down. Don't give in to them for sin. Don't tell them it's okay what they're doing. Instead, look what the Bible says. I encourage you, take some of these verses, write them down, take them, meditate them, look them up, and think about it. Because, Pastor, you tell us we're always supposed to be kind to one another. We're supposed to be forgiving. Yes, we are. You say, aren't you contradicting yourself? No. The kindest thing you can do for a person, a Christian that is away from the Lord, is to get on your knees and beg for God's mercy in their life, and that God will talk to them and speak to them and bring them back. But agreeing with their sin is probably the worst thing in the world you can do for them. Let me encourage you. There are some things, there's some that you must forsake. The Bible talks about the angry. The Bible talks about the flattering. The Bible talks about the evil man. And the Bible talks about those that are trying to cause divisions. The Bible even goes as far as talking about those brothers and sisters that are taken in the fault. It speaks of those, about the relationship we should have with them. I don't like it when you talk like this, Pastor. Well, it's what the Bible says. And I want to encourage you here that your influence could be done and used for good. Last but not least, we started off looking in. We're going to finish with looking in. There is something you must stop fooling with. There is something you must stop fooling with. Say, what is that? It's with our flesh. There's something we must stop. This is a wonderful chapter in the Bible. You can spend lots of times about it. You got the fruits of the Spirit at the end. But I want you to look here in verse number 16. I want you to see the picture that's given here of the Spirit that is warring with the flesh. It says in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another." What they're saying is that we have a spiritual side and we have a fleshly side. When we are saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives inside of us. But when we are saved and the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives inside of us, we still have our flesh. Like Mrs. Wallace is giving testimony, and she was saying that when I was saved, my want to change. She's still evil, and she still has this wicked fleshly nature about her, and we all have that. So, and we are all fighting against this, but it's the Spirit of God that lives into us, the spiritual side of things, and they're contrary one another. They're fighting one another. Many times, the thing that you feed is the thing that's going to win. And if you live for God and you feed the things of the Spirit, you read your Bible and you pray and you make no provision for the flesh. And if you don't live after the flesh, you can have victory. Look what it says here. It says in verse number 17, "For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit after the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Have you ever wanted to do the right things? Have you ever wanted to pray more? Have you ever wanted to read your Bible more? Have you ever wanted to be a soul winner? Have you ever thought that God was calling you into a ministry or calling you into a certain work? Have you ever wanted to give more? Have you ever wanted to be the right husband, the right wife, the right teenager, the right child? Have you ever wanted to? And there's a long list of things that we desire as believers, because the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts and says, this is what we need to do. This is what we should do. This is our desire. And then we turn around and say, why can't I do that? It tells us right here. It's because the flesh is always fighting against us. And it says that you cannot do the things that you would. Man, I would do this. But what is it stopping us? It's our flesh. And we need to stop fooling with our flesh. Look what it says in verse 18. "But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest." And it begins talking about the works of the flesh, and there are all those wicked things. And then in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit," talks about all those good things. But look at verse number 25. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." There is something that we need to stop fooling around with, and that is our flesh. Listen to what the Bible says about our flesh. It says, but put ye on, Romans 13, 14, "but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Amen. The Bible goes as far as saying, don't even make a provision. Don't even give yourself a chance to sin. What does that mean? Hey, if you know you're struggling something, don't even mess with it. If you know you got a problem with the TV, then get rid of the TV. You know you got a problem with the internet, then turn off the internet. Put it under lock and password and keys. If you can't even fix it then, throw it out of the house. It's better that you don't have a computer than to have something that's going to tempt your flesh. If you got a problem with the radio, take it out of your car. You say, Pastor, that's extreme. Well, it says that not to make any provision for our flesh. If you got a problem with drinking, then don't be around anyone who drinks. If you got a problem with swearing, don't be around someone who swears. If you got a problem with smoking, don't be around people who smoke. If you got a problem, there's all types of things we can do to put up safeguards to fight against the flesh. And that's what we need to stop messing with it. We just need to stop messing with it. The Bible says, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. It's talking about our spiritual strength and our spiritual side. That not that we're going to lose our salvation, but instead we're going to become weak and we're going to become that where we're not fighting anymore. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the bodies, ye shall live. Your spiritual side is going to have strength and it's going to live and going to prosper. You're going to run that race. You're not going to be hindered if you do what? Mortify the deeds of the body. What does that mean? Put to death our flesh. The Bible says you can do that. I said, Pastor, I don't have any idea how you can do that. Read Romans 6. Begin to memorize Romans chapter 6. Learn what the Bible says about it. You can have victory over sin. Romans 8:5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We don't need to mind the things of the flesh. We don't need to mind the things of this world. Romans 8:8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't please God and please the flesh at the same time. What is hindering us? There are some people we need to forgive, and there are some people we should forget, and there are some people we need to forsake, but there is something we need to stop fooling with. Because our greatest person that we must deal with is ourself and our flesh. The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Okay, Christian, here it is tonight. Do you want to run the race well? He say, verse number 7, you did run well. There was a time in your place, in your life, where you were running well, competing, doing what the Christian walk, the way that you should know, better than you are today. The question is, who did hinder you? Now, is it those that maybe we need to forgive? Those that maybe we need to forget? Or those that we need to forsake? The pastor, what about all the what's? And what about, that's the flesh part, the thing we don't need to fool around with. It's ourselves we need to look at and figure out. What type of influence do you have? The Bible says, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. What that means is that we join together and we help people to the truth. We take what God has given us, the life that we've given us, this race that he's given us, and we come alongside others and we become fellow helpers, encouraging people to the truth, encouraging people to do what's right, encouraging people to get right with God, encouraging the people to come to church, encouraging people to be saved, encouraging people to the truth of the gospel and to the truth of the Bible. How do we do that? We learned that there might be some people we need to forgive. We learned that there might be some influences we just need to forget about. And we also learned that there are some things that we need to forsake. Especially, there is something that we need to stop fooling around with, and that's our flesh. Christian, tonight, as I consider our upcoming Friend Day, God is so good. That's the title, and it's the theme for this year. God is so good in us and for our lives. We should run that race to our fullest potential, our fullest ability. Our eyes should be focused on the prize. Our eyes should be focused on the goal. We should want to live for him. But we let people slow us down. People hinder us. You did run well. Who did hinder you? Are you one of those Christians that used to be Christian? Used to be Sunday school teacher? Used to be junior church worker? Used to be... Believe me, there is a lot of things around here that we could use help with doing. There is. But we have a lot of people that used to be things that are no longer serving. Who's the one that stopped you? Who is it? Tonight, maybe we need to think about that. When I preach messages, it's not the intention of just for you to take that moment and that time, respond to the altar, get everything right and settled. You know what? We give you Monday and Tuesday to think about things. Think about the things. Pray about the things. Meditate on the things. See what God is working. I'm not doing, maybe if you're being honest with me, I'm not as good off as I used to be in my Christian walk. I'm not reading like I should. I'm not praying like I should. I'm not memorizing like I should. I'm not serving like I should. I'm not giving like I should. I'm not this. I'm not that. Who's the one that's hindered you? Who was the one that slowed you down? Who did it? Let's look at that. And then let's take steps to rectify the situation and look at if we can be fellow helpers to the truth. That's what we want to do this coming Friend Day, is we want to make sure we're right with God so we can be a fellow helper to the truth, to bring people to the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Tonight, who did hinder you? I don't know who it could be. I don't really even care who it is. It's between you and God. But I do care if you get it right or not. Look back on your life. See those influences that stopped you from going and doing what you could. And get them straight. It's worth it. Let's go ahead and pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's go ahead and raise to our feet for a time of invitation.